This is episode 659 of the AWS podcast, released on March 22, 2024.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the official AWS podcast. We got a special treat for you with a 3 special episode series around energy. And in this episode, we're going to talk about AWS Clean Energy Accelerator. I'm Hanwen Lochran, also known as Han Solo, your friendly neighborhood co-host of the official AWS podcast. And I'm joined by Shema Sharif. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Before we get started, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what do you do at Amazon Web Services?
My name is Shema Sharif, and I'm the Innovation Programs Lead at AWS for Energy. I co-lead the AWS Clean Energy Accelerator Program here at AWS.
Awesome. Well, as we are witnessing, the energy industry is rapidly changing and the demand for energy is increasing. And while the energy transition is accelerating, the world moves towards a cleaner and more sustainable energy future. And we're seeing trends of industry leaders that are leveraging innovative cloud solutions to take on these challenges and reliably deliver a cleaner, more diverse energy mix that is increasingly carbon-free. So before we get started, can you tell us a little bit about the AWS Clean Energy Accelerator CEA program and how did it get started?
The AWS Clean Energy Accelerator program started in 2021 in response to changing customer needs. We started to observe that a lot of our customers were making net zero commitments. They were signing the climate pledge agreements. They were exploring how to introduce and incorporate more alternative energy into their businesses and to provide it for their customers. And we thought, how can we help with that? Given our very extensive startup ecosystem and our deep industry knowledge expertise in the energy space, we felt that this combination would give us an opportunity to create something that could solve this need that they had. And so we built the program really as an experiment during the pandemic to really see if there was something that we could do to help in this space. And we're in our third edition this year, and we've had a lot of success. We've gone from 200 applicants when we first started to over 460 applicants this year. And we started off with, you know, really just a handful of countries to now over 64 countries. We've doubled the number of customers that want to be involved in the program, as well as the number of startups that we have now in the program. So it really started off with working backward from the needs of our customers. They didn't put it in words, but we felt that this was something that they needed. And so we went ahead and built it.
So what exactly is the AWS CEA program exactly, right? And how is it disrupting the energy industry and making that impact on the energy transition?
The AWS Clean Energy Accelerator Program is a program that brings together mature startups in the clean tech space and pairs them with customers in the energy space that have a global footprint. If these energy customers decide to adopt these technologies, they truly have the ability to make a huge difference in the energy landscape because of their size and scale. Although there are many accelerator programs out there, ours in particular focuses on mature startups that do have product, that do have a customer base, and they are solving a problem that satisfies the needs of our energy customers. And then the energy customers that are involved in the program actually have the ability and willingness to make the time and energy to commit into deploying and testing these new technologies and new solutions. At AWS, we don't actually take any equity in these startups. Our main mission really is to be the bridge between these clean tech startups and our energy customers looking for these clean tech solutions. And so while there is an element of that AWS provides mentorship and support and helping startups in their cloud journey or build their data layer and introducing them to this network of globally impactful organizations that can really help change our energy landscape. And so that's really one of the big differentiators in our program. And also our relationship with a startup doesn't end once the program concludes. I'm still in touch with startups that have been part of our first edition and our second edition. And we continue to invite them to trade shows and meet with them and introduce them to customers beyond the program's conclusion. So that's definitely another differentiator in our program, and it's what makes our program unique.
Super cool. I love the novelty of the approach for sure. So can you give us some examples of the startups and that have joined the CEA and the problems that they are trying to solve?
Absolutely. So the CEA program covers a wide range of challenge spaces. In the past, you know, we looked at 17 challenge spaces, which included, you know, carbon accounting, solar, wind, geothermal, nuclear. And every year we tend to iterate, make improvements to the program. And this year we decided to focus on 6 challenge spaces, you know, including carbon capture, utilization and storage, economic hydrogen, energy security and resilience, grid modernization, you know, just to mention a few. And the startups that we've attracted actually are startups that are within these challenge spaces, and they are working on problems that will provide solutions for our current customers that are involved in the program. For example, we have one of the startups that was with us in our second cohort called Urban Electric Power, and it's a startup that's commercializing rechargeable zinc manganese battery technology, focusing on stationary energy storage. And I mean, all of us out there understand the need for storage. You know, when you just look at your phone, it runs out, you have an electric car, there's a power outage. These batteries become so integral in our energy mix to create energy security. So this startup, by being in the program, was connected with one of our energy customers, NL, and they are now doing a pilot project in Italy to test out these rechargeable batteries. Now, this is a startup from upstate New York that is now doing a pilot project in Italy to test out these technologies. So that's another thing about our program. It's global. Like, the startups aren't limited to the market that they're in, nor is their pilot projects. Their pilot projects can be anywhere in the world where the customer wants to test out that solution. Another example of a startup that has a unique approach to solving some of the challenges we're facing is like Anodyne Chemistries as part of this year's cohort that combines synthetic biology with electrochemistry to deliver enzymatic electrolysis, a low carbon, low temperature method to produce renewable chemicals and fuels. We've also had Semvita Factory, again, looking at a nature-inspired microbial solution to help with carbon sequestration, reducing the emissions to do with mining, as well as carbon negative manufacturing. We also have technologies, startups like Windesco, that is a startup that looks at renewable energy performance analytics to really help large renewable energy operators, large wind farm operators, to maximize the impact of their wind farms and really take advantage of being able to manipulate and control an entire farm in itself, as opposed to looking at an individual turbine by itself. And we also have hydrogen. You know, we have a startup called H2X Mobility that produces hydrogen fuel cell powertrains, bringing clean hydrogen into vehicles. And Good Chemistry is a startup that uses quantum computing and machine learning to simulate carbon reducing material properties at scale, you know, accuracy before they actually have to synthesize them in the lab. So there are new and novel ways in which the startups are tackling the various elements of energy transition and producing energy in a more cleaner, more efficient way. And for us, we're looking at all of these things. So we tend to have our startups are 40% hardware, 40% software, and 20% are a combination. And so the software ones, we try to help them do more based on what they're currently doing. And then for the startups that are purely hardware, we try to help them build their digital layer, because there's always going to be a digital element in order to help the startup scale and really be able to measure the performance of their solutions.
And that's super cool, because I love the sustainability factor of all of this and driving that clean energy and meeting the climate pledge for sure. This is pretty awesome. So in terms of success stories, right?
I would have to say I'm a huge proponent of going even beyond sustainability. I'm really a heavy proponent of saying, you know, regenerability. If a system is broken, if a system needs to be repaired, we need to think beyond sustaining that system. Imagine if we just say we actually want to regenerate. So instead of thinking, I want to be net zero, imagine if you're like, I'm carbon negative. I'm actually leaving the environment better off than when I found it, because I found it in a state that it's actually not as good as it could be. So that was just At least that's what I try to do.
That's amazing. I love the nobleness of what we're trying to do, especially giving back and contributing to the overall environment health. So that's awesome. So in terms of like success stories, right? AWS has a history of working with startups. And how has this experience translate to the AWS Clean Energy Accelerator?
It's really allowed us to attract startups that are approaching problems in novel ways. And what we found is that 40 to 60% on average of the startups that we tend to select into the program tend to make it to the 100 climate startups to look out for. Not that we tend to focus on these types of rankings. For us, what we want to see is innovative solutions that are scalable, that are able to solve some of the problems that we're faced with today and will be faced with tomorrow. Because of the current work that Amazon does with startups, we have many programs, such as the Climate Pledge Fund, the Industrial Innovation Fund, Amazon's Corporate Development, the Right Now Climate Fund, and the very extensive startup community touch points that we have with universities and corporate institutions, VCs, has really allowed us to provide a strong ecosystem of support for our startup. So in addition to being able to bring them into this program and connect them with large energy corporates that are keen to work with startups in the clean tech space, we also have a very strong VC network that oftentimes mentors, invests in these startups. We also have the AWS Activate program, which is a way to kickstart a startup's cloud journey and help them be able to build and test out new solutions on AWS. And then, of course, because of our network, because of the strong ecosystem that we have in the startup space, we also have a large variety of supporting partners, be it government entities, academia, and policymakers that want to invite the startups to their various events to give them more exposure, as well as to speak with these startups and to provide them guidance and mentorship to open doors for them. And in the end, really, when you think about what does a startup need, yes, money is always something that a startup needs, but that's just a one-time installment. You need to be able to create something that can be perpetual, can allow the startup to grow. And that really is business traction, opportunities to build these networks that will allow them to grow and to scale.
So the AWS Clean Energy Accelerator is in its third edition. Has there been anything that surprised you?
Yes. What surprised me most was the caliber of the startups that we attracted, the sophistication of their business model, their approach to the various solutions that were being proposed. And it inspired us to expand the number of startups that we admit into the program. So in the past, it was really meant to be capped at 10, and now we have 15. We also decided to launch the AWS Energy and Climate Lab. This is a new initiative that we launched, and it's predominantly made up of the semifinalists that didn't make it to the Clean Energy Accelerator program, but they actually had very compelling solutions. And the reason why they didn't make it into the program was that at that particular point in time, the customers that were working with us, that will be the ones that would do the piloting with these startups, it wasn't on their roadmap for the next 12 months to test out that particular technology. So that's something about our program that actually is a big differentiator also between the other accelerator programs that are out there, is that we're very keen on looking at technologies and solutions that could potentially be deployed within the next 12 months to test that approach to the problem. And so these startups, because they were so compelling, we launched the AWS Energy and Climate Lab, and these is meant to help the startups mature their technologies, their solutions, their pitches, and connect them with our larger, broader ecosystem. And they will still be able to apply again for the CEA program for, you know, for 4.0 or 5.0. And so that was a really big surprise, was that we were able to suddenly go from 10 startups to 15 for the CEA program. And then we added on 33 more startups under the umbrella of the AWS Energy and Climate Lab. It was kind of a big leap and a big jump. I think, though, when you're doing something for the right reasons, you will find a way to make it work. And the fact that we were able to do it, so far so good, and definitely been a wonderful surprise. There's no greater pleasure I get than from working with purpose-driven individuals. And I get to do that when I work with the startups that we have in our program.
Yeah, I love how we're providing these startups with a place to innovate and experiment at scale. So that's amazing. So if you could just like walk me through like the typical journey of a startup through the accelerator from the application all the way to an industry event.
Absolutely. So we start off with a blog post or an announcement. So in the case of CEA 3.0, we announced that we were launching CEA 3.0 and we had a website up and running. We had all the information on the challenge areas. And we kept it open for about 3 months to allow for startups to come and apply. And then during the application period and outreach is when we would start to evaluate submissions. We would work with energy customers and our larger supporting customers who are academia, VCs, and government entities to also promote the program to attract even a larger array of startups from all parts of the world. So we make the announcement, the startups apply, and then we go through a rigorous vetting process. Actually, the startups go through, we have various stages. The first one being, you know, our subject matter experts go through the specific area that each of them, of course, has the expertise in. They rank the startups. We then have our energy customers who are involved in the program also start to rank the startups based on the interest in the solution, the likelihood of a customer trial, and the willingness to work and explore potential deployments with these startups. And then, of course, it goes through my team, where we will then bring together all the feedback that we've received and then make a short list of the startups to be selected into the program. And then we conduct interview. So on average, we would reach our top 30 and share this top 30 with our energy customers. And then they would put their ranking. We would do the interviews with these startups and then make a final selection based on all the various factors I mentioned. And then what we did last year and in previous years, we announced the startups selected for the program at an industry event called CERAWeek, which takes place in Houston in March of every year. And that's where we made the announcement. Then we kick off with the program. What we've done is we have virtual program, but we also have in-person programming at the kickoff, conclude the program with a in-person innovation showcase. Another opportunity for the startups to connect with the larger ecosystem, pitch their solutions to a much broader audience, where our kickoff is really focusing on bringing the startups together with our energy customers and having them better understand what the technology is, how a customer trial can look like, and really remove any concerns and answer any questions that might arise. And so really, that's what you're looking at. We have the announcement, applications open, we start to shortlist, we interview, we announce, and then once the startups confirm that they're involved, we kick off.
Gotcha. So let's just say an individual or startup want to join the CEA, right? What do they need to do?
Absolutely. So if you're interested in learning more about the program, just visit our website, which is going to be available in the show notes. Fill out the contact us form. And this way, we'll be able to stay in touch with you and update you on when we make the announcement for 4.0. You can do that. For now, all you would need to do is go to the website, fill out the contact us form. Once we have your contact on file, we will provide communication to you when we have announcements of upcoming events relating to the program, as well as future editions that will be announced.
Gotcha. Awesome. So we would definitely provide those links and sign up at the show notes for sure. And so the last question I have for you is, what type of support and benefits can they expect from AWS as a part of the CEA?
Excellent question. And it's a very fair question, because I think if you want to be a part of a program, you understand that there is going to be a time commitment required, and you want to make sure that it's worth your while. The type of benefits and support that the startups would get when joining the CEA program is that they would get access to the largest energy and power companies in the world who voluntarily choose to be in the program and want to work with these startups and learn about the solutions that they have. So they have not just one, but multiple meetings with each of these customers in order to start to build an outline for what a customer trial can look like. Of course, there are many things that determine whether a customer trial can take place. And so while those things are not always something that one can control, in our program, what we try to do is make sure that the startup gets as much support as possible, not just from the meetings between the startups and organizing follow-up meetings. We also have mentorship sessions. We have sessions delivered by industry experts on how to pitch, on how to work on your value proposition. We have hands-on AWS cloud support. We have exclusive networking and collaboration opportunities. For example, we invite our startups to participate in many global industry trade shows that give them a much broader audience to target. So that's one of the things that I would say is one of the best outcomes from the program, is the exposure that the startup gets. So in many cases, we found that while a pilot project was not successfully completed during the program, a pilot project kicked off after the program was done by the same individuals that had initially met because of the program. Or perhaps there was an investment round that the startup was raising money and one of the customers that were involved decided to participate in an investment round. And so really the sky is the limit, and you get out of the program as much as you put in. It does require time and effort. And I think as a startup, you understand that you're already doing something difficult. And we try to do our best to help by opening doors, making connections, and providing mentorship and hands-on assistance with each of the startups that are in the program with us. And that doesn't stop once the program's done. As I said earlier, it's something that will continue.
Awesome. Cool. Well, thank you so much for all that information, and the links to how to get started and get more information will be provided in the show notes. And Shaima, actually coming us from Dubai, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today.
Thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure. And as Han said, all the information is available in the show notes. Please fill out that form. I'd love to hear from you and let you know how things are going and what to look forward to in the coming months. So thank you again.
Awesome. And as always, including in the show notes, we love to get your feedback. There is a link in the show notes to submit your feedback. And until next time, keep on building.